The Human Podcast features weekly service audio from the Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia. Please visit us at human.org.
Denise Wilson, and I'm a member here, and on behalf of Reverend Dave Dunn, our Director of Religious Exploration, Lexi Brown, our Director of Music, Alex Peach, my fellow worship associates, and our dedicated technical team making today's live stream possible, it's my honor to welcome all of you to Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation, which we affectionately call UMAN. We are a liberal faith community with the mission to nurture our spirit, strive for justice, and transform the world. No matter who you are, whom you love, or where you are on your spiritual journey, you are welcome here. If we have any first-time visitors with us who feel comfortable doing so, we invite you please to rise and, as well as you're able, and identify yourself and maybe tell us where you're from so that we can welcome you. Are there any first-time visitors on my left? Hi.
Oh, hi. good morning. My name is Sarah Beeson. I am your Roswell City Council member, and I was invited today by Michelle, but I also see a ton of familiar faces around the room. I really appreciate y'all having me out this morning.
Welcome.
Hello, my name is Kristen, and I am in Sandy Springs.
Welcome, Kristen. Any others? Bruce. Over here, Bruce.
Hi, I'm Nicole Whitworth. I'm with Atlanta Pride.
Thank you, welcome. Okay. And also, if you are visiting with us for the first time in person or online, please feel free to either scan the QR code on the back of your printed order of worship or go ahead and visit our website and fill out the visitor information form. We do have a few adult enrichment offerings this morning during second hour. Please refer to your order of service for class locations. All ages are welcome in our service. We have a fidget shelf in the sanctuary, and there's also a basket of fidget toys in Fellowship Hall over there, where we will be showing the live stream service on a TV. Those who choose this option will need to stay with your children and supervise them in Fellowship Hall. Children and youth religious exploration classes are held during second hour at 11:15 in Discovery Hall, which is the building right over there. The schedule for the next several weeks is in your printed order of worship. Please note there is a change of activity for today. The field trip was canceled, so children and youth can write letters to trans folk that will be passed out at Atlanta Pride next week. This is the last call for storytellers. The night of Friday, October 27th will be a night of stories and music and poetry around a fire at Yumen. Stories to live by, stories to entertain and fortify us for the darker days of winter. Please contact Gus Haydorn. And I would like to now invite Lexi up to make an announcement.
I just wanted to let you know that the Autumn Festival is on the 29th. It's following service, so the last Sunday of the month from 11:30 to 2:30. We're gonna have a lot of fun things like obstacle courses and donut hangs, and even a hayride.
Cheers now.
This Wednesday, October 11th, is National Coming Out Day, when we celebrate LGBTQ plus equality and those who've come out. Please join us next Sunday, October 15th, for Atlanta's annual Pride Parade. You can sign up on the events page of the Yumen website or on the October 15th date on the Breeze calendar. We will be carpooling from Yumen at 10 a.m. on Saturday, so you can meet here. And now we have a special guest to make an announcement for us this morning from Atlanta Pride Committee, Nicole Whitworth. She is on the board of Atlanta Pride, and she is also the chair of the Accessibility and Inclusion Committee.
Hey. To get to over here. So I want to introduce myself again. I'm Nicole Whitworth. I'm on the board, like she said. I'm also the chair of Accessibility and Inclusion. And I want to thank you all for allowing us to be your 50-50. That helps and allows Atlanta Pride to stay free. We are one of the largest LGBTQ plus events in the Southeast that is free for the public, and we want to stay that way. And the donations that we get from the community helps us stay that way. And we encourage all of you to show up and show out with us, even as allies, because that support for us in the LGBTQ plus community shows that we are seen and that we are heard, because Pride is political, and we need allies out there with us. We need to know that we are seen, and because some of us are not seen, and we are forgotten. So please show up and show out with us. And if you want to and be a part of our VIP, you can go to our website and get those VIP tickets. We are also having an event on October 12th at a Georgia Aquarium. That's our kickoff event. If you'd like to attend that, the tickets are on the Georgia Aquarium website too. So please come show up and show out with us.
Thank you, Nicole. Atlanta Pride is our 50-50 recipient for the month of October.
Good morning. Breathe with me. Breathe with me the breath of life. Inhale, inspire, inspiration. Rauch, Pneuma, Spiritus, the Holy Spirit, the many names for breath. Breathe with me. Know that with each breath we take in molecules of air that were breathed by every person that ever lived. Breathe with me and breathe the breath of Jesus, Moses, Muhammad, and Buddha. Breathe with me and know that we are all interdependent, that the spirit of life flows through us all. Breathe with me as we come together to do the holy work of interconnection and relationship, that our work here may be blessed. And now let us light our chalice together.
Using the words found in your printed order of worship as we light our chalice. As we light this flame, we remember friends and loved ones near and far, and we give thanks. As the fire burns brightly, we open our minds and hearts to new ways of being, and we feel alive. As the room glows with warmth and kindness, we extend our circle ever wider to welcome those who want to come in and we know love.
When we think of creation stories, what usually comes to mind is the creation story that we might have heard, may have heard in the Bible, like on the first day, God did this, second, the second day, God did that, and then God rested. Actually, there are two creation stories in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, one in chapter 1 and one in chapter 2. And actually, there are tons of creation stories from the beginning of time. Every community from time immemorial has had their own creation story. It's a natural thing to wonder, where did we come from? How did this all come about? So here are some snippets, just some snippets of a few creation stories. From the Rig Veda, a text that precedes Hinduism, they have the following creation story called the Song of Creation. Part of it goes like this. There was either non-existence or existence then. There was neither realm of space nor sky, which was beyond. What stirred? Where? In whose protection? Was there water bottomlessly deep? There was neither death nor immortality then. There was no distinguishing sign of night or day. That one breathed, one capital O. That one breathed, windless, by its impulse. Other than that, there was nothing beyond. Now here's a portion of a creation story taken from the peoples who lived on the Aegean Sea over in the Eastern Mediterranean. Eurynome was the goddess of all things and the only thing in the beginning. She rose out of the chaos and divided the sea from the sky and danced upon the waves. She caught hold of the north wind and rubbed it in her hands and created the serpent Ophion. And together they birthed the sun, the moon, the stars, and the earth with all its mountains and rivers. They made a home on Mount Olympus. But when Ophion became jealous and said that he had created everything, she kicked him down to the earth, into the lower places of the earth. I like that story, how she kicks him out. Another creation story from dating from about the year 3100 BC in the area what is now Egypt. In that story, autumn, in the form of fire, arose from the primeval land as the first god. He breathes out air and spit to give birth to the sky and the sea, and eventually gave birth to the earth. A portion from the book of Genesis, story from the Hebrew Bible. When God created heaven and earth, the earth being formed, unformed and void, with darkness over the surface of the deep, a wind, ruach, from God swept over the water. A story in the Quran is as follows. The Lord said to the angels, I'm about to create man from clay. So when I have fashioned him and breathed into him his soul from my spirit, then you, angels, should fall down and prostrate in respect for him. In the Navajo tradition, they say, the wind existed first. And when the earth began its existence, the wind took care of it. All these stories and countless others. There are countless others, but many of these stories focus on the wind, the breath, the spirit. What could it mean? Who really knows? Again, from the Rig Veda's hymn of creation. Perhaps it formed itself, or perhaps it did not. The one who looks down on it in the highest heaven, only he knows. Or perhaps even he does not know.
Thank you.
This reading is called Breathing Underwater by Carol Bialik. I built my house by the sea, not on the sands, mind you, not on the shifting sand. And I built it of rock, a strong house by a strong sea. And we got well acquainted, the sea and I, good neighbors. Not that we spoke much, we met in silences, respectful, keeping our distance, but looking our thoughts across the fence of sand. Always the fence of sand, our barrier, always the sand between. And then one day, and I still don't know how it happened, the sea came, without warning, without welcome even, not sudden and swift, but a shifting across the sand, like wine, less like the flow of water than the flow of blood, slow but coming, slow but flowing like an open wound. And I thought of flight, and I thought of drowning, and I thought of death. And while I thought, the sea crept higher till it reached my door. And I knew then there was neither flight, nor death, nor drowning. That when the sea comes calling, you stop being neighbors, well acquainted, friendly at a distance neighbors, and you give your house for a coral castle, and you learn to breathe underwater.
Wonderful. Is that going to be the Ecumenical Thanksgiving? No? Okay. I thought so. It'll be better? Okay. Bigger and better. Of course. I know how you roll. Some adherents to the Jewish mystical tradition of Kabbalah say that the Hebrew word for God, represented by the four letters, YHWH, that the Hebrew word for God is articulated on each breath, with the inhale being YH and the exhale being WH. In terms of language, that sound, the sounded breath, is vowels only. There are no consonants. Consonants are made by the teeth, the tongue, the lips. But that sounded breath is the sound of vowels only. It's a continuous combined sound. In the Vedic tradition, which precedes Hinduism, Om, typically spelled as O-M here, actually comes from the Sanskrit Aum, A-U-M. And again, it's an utterance that only contains the vowels of speech, no consonants. Only at the end, when the M actually cuts off the what's been uttered. But other than that, it represents all the vowels of sound. In our Wondering Time story today, we highlighted many creation stories, and they all had to do with the breath or the wind, where the breath is invoked to breathe life into things. One Vedic creation myth maintains that the entire universe was created out of a word. Aum is that word. It's called the Pranava, the most potent of mantras. And all things are embodied in its sound. Joseph Campbell says that Aum is the holy syllable, contains in itself the seed of all sounds, of all words, and then all relationships. Here's the beginning of another creation story, chapter 1, verse 1 in the Hebrew Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit, the Ruach of God, was hovering over the waters. The word spirit, breath, and wind are conveyed by a single word in Hebrew, Ruach. It was the Ruach of God, the Spirit of God, that breathed life into the nostrils of the clay, lifeless Adam, out of the dust of the ground. The Navajo story that I related earlier said the wind existed first. And when the earth began its existence, the wind took care of it. They believe that when a baby is born, the Navajo believe that the wind within the baby expands, unfolds the baby. And when it breathes its first breaths, the wind from the rest of the universe then envelops it as well, joins with it. And in every Navajo ceremony and ritual, it is always the wind that is first acknowledged. The word psyche is rooted in the Greek word psychen, which means to breathe, to breathe. But today, a kind of shift has taken place. Because when we think of words that come from psyche, like psychology, psychiatry, psychosis, that has little to do with the breath. It has little to do with sensory experience of the world. But now, it has to do with the mind. Those words are associated with the mind, no longer with the breath. We've put a little layer of separation between this breath and spirit and sensory experience, between that and now the mind. There's a little disconnection. I'm going to talk about this again some more in a sermon in 2 weeks called Start Making Sense. Okay? A little preview of coming attractions. In Judaic holy books, the word of God is written in Hebrew. In that language, there are no vowels, only consonants. There are no vowels in Hebrew. Why? Well, we don't know for sure, but many might think it's blasphemous to put the breath, the spirit of God on a page. That God's spirit was in the vowels, in the breath. And to put that on a page would be kind of blasphemous. When you read Hebrew, it's usually read out loud so that the person who's reading it is involved in an active participation in making the words come alive by adding their breath to the consonants that are on the page. It's really quite wonderful that to meet with God, you join with God by reading the consonants, by adding your breath to the page. That's how you join with God. And that's why many who read scripture, and they do it not just one-to-one, but many people, they'll read together articulating that, breathing the words of God into the words. I think that's actually a beautiful image. The God of the Hebrew Bible, sometimes it's difficult to understand, and maybe it doesn't resonate with many Unitarian Universalists. But there's something beautiful about a God who wishes to partner with someone in such a way. There's some humility there that allows the participant to interpret through their breath the words of God. That's something radically egalitarian and democratic about that. In contrast, the New Testament was written in Greek, which has vowels. So hence that participation, that participatory joining is kind of lost there. It's merely words on a page, which then has allowed some people to say, you're not allowed to interpret it. It needs to be taken literally. And what we're left with is what Martin Luther said, sola scriptura. Only the scripture is the authority. And that scripture is already on a page. I'm not saying that the New Testament isn't meaningful or beautiful. It has given me much meaning in my life. It has. I'm just saying it's different than the Hebrew traditions where it's written in Hebrew and there's a participation of the reader in the text, which I find fascinating. Hozho is a Navajo word, meaning the harmonious condition of well-being and beauty. Writer, philosopher, and environmentalist David Abram writes in a book, Spell of the Sensuous, when a Navajo person wishes to reestablish in the world a harmonious condition of beauty and well-being, they must first strive through ritual to create that harmony and well-being in themselves first. And having established such hozho within themselves, they can then actively impart that well-being and beauty to the enveloping cosmos. Then, after a person has projected that hozho through the air in ritual form that they do, they are then, at the conclusion of the ritual, they breathe that hozho back into themselves. So they breathe it, they embody it themselves, breathe it out into the cosmos, and breathe it back into themselves. When I first read that passage, I was struck, for this is, for the most part, exactly like a Buddhist practice called Tonglen, which we're going to get to in a little bit. But it's a practice using the breath to take in and breathe out. The practices of hozho and Tonglen, through the exchange of breath, taking in and sending out, remind us of our spirit interconnection to all that is in the cosmos. We exchange our breath with the great holy wind. Hozho and Tonglen are circular, never ending, never ceasing. Yet I believe that on a deeper level, there really is no exchange, only the appearance of an exchange. Because in a larger scheme of things, we are one and the same with the external air that we breathe in. It's just one thing. It's in us and around us. Not an exchange, but one thing, one and the same. The breath, our breath is not our own. Again, David Abrams says, the wind within one is in no way autonomous, for it is a continual process of interchange with the winds that surround one, and it indeed is entirely part of the holy wind itself.
Thank you.
This reading is called Tonglen by Pema Chodron. Tonglen practice, also known as taking and sending, reverses our usual logic of avoiding suffering and seeking pleasure. In its essence, when anything is painful or undesirable, you breathe it in. That's another way of saying you don't resist it. You surrender yourself to it. You honor it. If you get in touch with the arrow in your heart, it's quite accessible to you at that very moment that there are people all over the world feeling exactly what you're feeling. The storylines vary, but the underlying feeling is the same for us all. By the same token, if you feel some sense of delight, if you connect with what for you is inspiring, opening, relieving, relaxing, you breathe it out, you give it away, you send it out to everybody else. Again, the storylines vary, but the underlying feeling is the same for all of us. In this way, if we do this practice of Tonglen personally and genuinely, this practice of breathing in what is painful or undesirable and breathing out what is relieving and opening, it awakens our sense of kinship with all beings.
And now we're going to practice that a bit. Let us try to use this practice of Tonglen. It will commence and end with the ringing of a bell. First, get comfortable, and you may want to close your eyes. Rest your mind for a second or two in a state of openness or stillness. Quiet your mind and rest in spaciousness and clarity. Then begin to work with the texture. Breathe in the heaviness of disappointment, pain and suffering, and breathe out the lightness of joy and delight. Next, apply that texture of breathing and heaviness and breathing out lightness to a personal situation, a situation that involves either you or perhaps another person close to you. Finally, extend your compassion to others who might be in a similar personal situation. You do this by breathing in their heaviness and suffering and breathing out your lightness and joy to them.
Would you please join me as we extinguish the chalice together using the words found in your printed bulletin? We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again.
If prayer is pure
and untainted, surely that holy breath that rises from your lips will join with that breath of heaven that is always flowing into you from above. Thus, that part of God that is within you is reunited with its source. Go in peace and enjoy your week.
Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia, thanks you for listening to the Human Podcast. Background music, courtesy of Tim Moore from Pixabay.